Louise Holmes is with me from Oliver & Co. Solicitors. It's our legal hour, the final one of the year. I feel a bit emotional.
Aww.
We've been talking about making wills. We're going to talk about something called a lasting power of attorney now. So I know there are two types, but just tell us generally what a lasting power of attorney is.
So it's as important as a will, but it's less known. Most people would have come across them if they have elderly relatives. They might have been involved with making a lasting power of attorney for them. But essentially, it's a document that allows you to name people that you trust implicitly to manage your affairs for you if you are no longer able to do it. So that, as you said, there's two types. The first is a property and financial lasting power of attorney. And this deals with decisions about finances, such as paying bills, dealing with investments, selling and buying property. What it doesn't do is it doesn't give authority to make gifts to people unless on a customary occasion. And they say a customary occasion can be classed as a birthday or a wedding present. So if you have continually given money to a grandchild for their birthday, an attorney can continue to do that for you.
Okay.
But obviously the gift must be reasonable in amount and in relation to the size of the person's estate. So you wouldn't want them to be given half of the estate away on a birthday. That wouldn't really be reasonable.
No, well, you'd keep it commensurate with what was given in previous years, I suppose, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the second type of lasting power of attorney is called a health and welfare lasting power of attorney. And this enables people to make decisions about where you live, medical treatment you receive, even down to exercise you have and food you eat if you cannot make that decision yourself. So they're very powerful documents.
I was going to say, big responsibility.
Massive responsibility. So it's so important that you trust the people who you are naming as your attorneys, because anything you are able to do yourself, your attorneys are able to do on your behalf with a lasting power of attorney. And unfortunately, we do see that attorneys misuse them or they're abused. So you really have to think hard about who you're going to name as your attorney. They need to be trustworthy. They need to be a good decision maker and somebody who is not going to be easily influenced by other people.
I suppose with advances in medicine, people living for longer physically, there's a higher instance now of mental incapacity.
That's right.
Alzheimer's, senility and so on, because our bodies are lasting longer, our minds aren't keeping up. So therefore, lasting power of attorneys are probably being used more now than ever before.
Absolutely, definitely.
And who, I mean, I suppose most people ask their children, their adult children.
Yeah,
do they?
They do. If they have adult children that they trust, they would name them often. Siblings, maybe younger siblings or nieces and nephews, but we do have people who don't have anybody that they trust. Even if they do have nieces or nephews, they might possibly be able to name, and in that case they actually ask a professional attorney such as a solicitor who would take that role for them.
At what point does the lasting power of attorney kick in, become valid? Because obviously you make it when you're of sound mind.
Yeah, you make it when you're of sound mind. Your attorneys have signed it. It's sent to the Office of the Public Guardian, which is a government agency, and they keep a register of who has a power of attorney in place. So they know who has one. And if somebody reports, if it's misused, it can be reported to the Office of the Public Guardian and they would carry out an investigation. And if they think it's necessary, they can remove an attorney.
Right. But so at what point does it, who decides that the person who's made the lasting power of attorney document and awarded that to somebody, who decides the point at which that person is no longer able to manage their own affairs and the attorney picks up their responsibilities?
So it depends really on, and when you make the power of attorney, you discuss it as to whether you would be happy, once it's been registered with the Office of the Public Guardian, would you want your family to be able to use it straight away? So, for example, you might have all your mental faculties, but physically you might have trouble getting to the bank, so you might want your attorneys to be able to use it at that point. Alternatively, with the property and financial power of attorney, you might say, I only want you to use this if I do not have capacity, and I want that to be certified by a doctor, in which case you'd make that known in the document.
Okay, so then, you know, a doctor would say that, you know, your mum or dad, say, for want of argument, is, you know, really losing capability to make their own decisions. Then you would approach this government office, would you, and say, I've got a lasting power of attorney, can can it be instigated?
So you'd get a certificate from the medical professional.
Yeah.
And they would then be able to send the lasting power of attorney with that doctor's certificate to the bank, whoever needs to be
right.
Approached.
And then you act as if you are that person.
That's right.
With regard to their affairs. Okay. And what would happen to you if you haven't put a lasting power of attorney in place? If you haven't awarded that to somebody, then sadly, towards the end of your life, you do lose mental capacity.
Yeah, so that happens, and in which case somebody would have to apply to the Court of Protection to become what's called their deputy. So a deputy is somebody who is allowed to make decisions on your behalf, just like an attorney would under a power of attorney. But unfortunately, the process is longer, it's more expensive than as if you'd had a lasting power of attorney in place. So just for example, the court fee to apply to make a lasting power of attorney is £82. But if you don't have one of those in place and you lost capacity and somebody has to apply to become your deputy, the court fee alone is £365.
As well as that, of course, there's the issue that presumably a loved one is now deteriorating mentally, and then you would have to deal with all this legal stuff, whereas if it was all put in place several years previously...
Absolutely.